Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's your girl POC. You know me. I'm extremely excited to be on these airwaves once again. You know what time it is. I got this huge smile on my face today. I don't know if it's because I'm in a great mood or if it's because I know next week I'm going to be in LA. I don't know what, but I'm going to keep it moving. I'm extremely excited to be traveling all across the world, pretty much expanding my brand, getting my brand out there, letting people know that Revive is live on air every Wednesday and every Sunday. Make sure you guys out there who are listening, continue to spread the word that you can hear Revive, me, your girl POC, live on the airway every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I just want to thank everyone out there who is supporting the Revive platform. Thank you always for supporting. I really do appreciate it. You also can follow the Revive platform and also the team at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, it's Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. You also can listen to Revive live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go to tunein.com or download the TuneIn app and just search Time for an Awakening, and you will hear me, your girl POC, live on air every Wednesday and every Sunday. I also have True Heart and Harmony the Goddess in the building with me today as well, holding it down each and every Sunday for the Sunday edition of Revive. So you don't want to miss the Truth series coming up, hosted by True Heart, and you definitely don't want to miss What's Buzzing coming up, hosted by Harmony the Goddess. So make sure you guys stay tuned into that. But it's something about this week that is really just making me shake my head. I mean, like, big eyes, eyebrows up, question marks everywhere. Like, yo, like, what is really going on? There's so much going on right now that just has me questioning everything. Everyone's getting a question. And I'm literally responding to questions with a question because I need to understand what is going on right now. On Monday, a man was dragged off a United Airlines plane due to the lack of due diligence on their part. Then there was an African-American man who got beat up like an animal in the street in Sacramento, California, because of jaywalking. I mean, literally jaywalking. We tweeted out that video on Wednesday, so make sure you go back into the Revive timeline. We're also going to retweet it out, too, for you guys to see if you didn't catch that on Wednesday. He literally got beat up like an animal in the middle of the street by police because of jaywalking. It's never that serious. It's never, never, never that serious. And then also on Monday, there was a school suicide shooting in an elementary school in San Bernardino, California, killing one student and leaving another student in critical condition. Like, what is really going on out here? And then also we have more issues that we're going to address coming up in What's Buzzing, because this week was filled with nothing but drama, deaths, shocking events, life-turning events. Everything just happened in this one week. And mind you, at the end of the week, it was Easter. Well, it is Easter. Today is Easter. I'm sorry. Mind you, today is Easter. So all of this is happening the week of Easter. So I'm really just thinking, like, what is the universe really out here telling us? What is the universe telling us? Like, what do we need to understand that is going on out here? Because it's just too many tragedies going on in America right now, where it's either someone getting shot, someone getting beat up, we losing kids, you know, bombs just getting thrown everywhere. We finding judges in the river. It's just what is really going on out here? And that's just something that we are here. We on Revive are going to address. So just make sure you stay tuned to that. But it's something else that I figured out this week as well, that our president, Donald J. Trump, loves to play golf. I mean, he loves to play golf. And he also loves spending our tax dollars to fund his trips to the golf course. I mean, people, do your research. Please do your research. And if I remember correctly, this is the same man, the same guy, the same candidate who swore he will not be like our former president, Barack Obama, whatever that means, like super air quotes around that one. I will not be like your former president, Barack Obama. And in my eyes, I feel like Barack Obama did his job in the entire 8 years, and especially he did his job within the first 100 days. So I'm going to play a clip. I want you guys to listen to our president right now, Donald J. Trump, making a fool out of himself like he always does and contradicting every statement that he tends to make. Like, he literally contradicts every statement that he makes. And I want you guys to listen to this.
Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf. He played more golf last year than Tiger Woods.
This guy plays more golf than people on the PGA Tour.
Golf, 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 more. Learning how to chip, learning how to hit the drive, learning how to putt. Oh, I want more.
I love golf. I think it's one of the greats, but I don't have time.
I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf.
I wouldn't leave the White House very much because, you know, like little things like these little trips where they get on, they cost you a fortune. If I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave?
And that was our president, Donald Trump, telling us on his campaign trail that he would not be playing golf, that he's going to spend as much time in the White House making sure that everything in America is going right, everything is going smoothly. But right now, on Easter weekend, our president is in Palm Springs at his international golf course, at Trump's international golf course. He's there right now, Easter weekend. He pulled up, dropped off in a plane on Saturday. Yesterday, he pulled up at his own golf course. Mind you, he owns the place. So he pulled up at his golf course, which makes this his 19th time on the golf course since he took office on January 20th. His 19th time on the golf course since January 20th. But he promises throughout the campaign that he will not be on the golf course at all. He's going to spend as much time in the White House as possible to make sure that everything is going smoothly, to make sure that he is making America great again. But he was the same vocal critic who was criticizing Barack Obama about literally every time he went to the golf course. President Donald Trump had something to say. Trump has already played more golf than Obama, George Bush, and Bill Clinton combined. Look at the numbers. Go do your research. He has played more golf than Obama, George Bush, and Clinton combined. And all three of them were 8-year term presidents. All three of them were 8-year term presidents. So you do your math. Honestly, do your math. So my question is, how much of our tax dollars are really going to these trips to fund him on the golf course? So yes, stay woke and do your research. Educate yourself always. Make sure you educate yourself always, because these are questions that are going off in my mind. Like, yo, really, this man has been on the golf course 19 times, and he hasn't even completed his 100 days yet. But on a lighter note, if y'all want a good laugh, because I really got a good laugh out of this as well. This was something that really made the week funny. This is something that made the week like, yo, so, you know what I mean? We can relax a little bit. We don't always have to be so uptight. There are things that is going on that we can laugh at. So guess what, y'all? Guess what? Ben Carson, old Ben boy, got stuck in a public housing elevator located in Overtown, which is a low-income neighborhood in Miami. I died laughing. I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny. But I was dying laughing when I heard the news report that Ben Carson, old Ben Boy, got stuck in a housing elevator. I really want to know what was going through his mind at that time when he got stuck in that elevator. But former Miami Heat star Alonzo Mourning, who helped develop the housing complex, which is something I didn't know either. So Alonzo Mourning actually invested into this housing complex that Ben Carson got stuck in. He was waiting for Ben Carson outside the elevator while firefighters were trying to rescue Ben Carson and also six other people. And out of those six other people was Ben's wife, Candy. So that's even funnier. You have to picture Ben Carson and his wife being stuck on an elevator. Honestly, like, what was Ben Carson thinking? What was going through his mind? Like, what was he saying? Get me out these project elevators. Get me out the hood. Get me out of this urban society. Like, what was he saying? This is extremely funny. This is neurosurgeon Ben Carson being stuck on an elevator. He was only stuck in the elevator for about 20 minutes. But you know, Twitter had endless jokes. Like, Twitter did not stop. Twitter was ongoing when it came to these jokes about Ben Carson being stuck in the elevator. And that's the best part about us millennials. We can get creative. We can make a meme in about 2.5 seconds and blast somebody all over the internet, social networking. It is crazy. True Heart's going to read a couple tweets that we found on Twitter that was extremely funny. We want y'all to get some laughs too, because we was definitely laughing when we seen these.
Someone said, give Ben Carson a break. There are people that push the elevator buttons for him in the Trump Tower, which honestly is very, very true. Then somebody else going to say, Ben Carson stuck in the elevator is in an affordable housing building is karma's finest work yet.
Super karma. That's what he get.
Ben Carson stuck in the elevator. Look at God. Ben Carson is literally in the sunken place right now. If it was a United elevator, Ben Carson would have been freed. Slightly battered and bruised. If you were told to guess which member of Trump's cabinet got stuck in the elevator, you'd say Ben Carson without even thinking about it. Honestly, Black Twitter went ham. So Ben Carson actually tweeted, great meeting with Alonzo Mourning, who is doing great work with low-income housing, and thanks to the hardworking Miami PD and City of Miami Fire. So he didn't even really let the people know that he was stuck in the elevator, so this was just slightly, I'm just going to give a shout-out to the people who rescued me. But I know him and his wife were going crazy. Ben Carson probably just crawled up in a little ball, like, get me out, get me out. So that was funny.
It was extremely funny. Also, D-Ray tweeted out something that was funny, too. Like, this is God herself reminding us that, you know, you know, he hasn't forgotten, right? It was just something. That was something that was extremely funny, especially knowing that Ben Carson is now the secretary of HUD. And for him to get stuck in an elevator of a low-income housing project is extremely funny. So now you are in the reality of everyday people who actually live in those housing complex, who actually lives in a complex where the elevator does not work every day, where they get on the elevator and they have to pray that they don't get stuck. And the only reason why you were only in there for 20 minutes is because you are the secretary of HUD. The people who probably live in that complex probably get stuck in the elevator and are there for hours, are really probably in there for hours because no one cares about them. Why? Because they're low income, because they're not profitable for the American people, aka Donald Trump land. Let's keep it 100. So that's why it was extremely funny to me, because he saw reality of everyday people while in their elevator. And I hope that like a light bulb went off in his head at that time. Like, yo, like, this is what these people really have to endure every day. Like, guessing if they are going to get stuck in an elevator or not.
DeRay basically said, Ben Carson being stuck in the elevator in a public housing building is God reminding us that she always has the last word.
Exactly. Literally. So I just thought that that was extremely funny. I wanted to bring that up for you guys because always has the last word. Karma comes back every time. Karma's going to come back every time, whether it's good or bad. But today's show, We do have a guest coming on today's show. Today, his name is James Harris. He would pretty much, well, what he's actually going to do is he's going to break down the ins and outs, the do's and don'ts about taxes. It is tax season, you guys, and we here on Revive, we want to educate you guys, especially as a millennial audience. We definitely want to educate the people who don't know. I myself is very ignorant when it comes to taxes. When it comes to taxes, because I wasn't taught. It's not something that I was taught while I was in college. It's not something that I was taught in my household growing up. It was something like, yo, we're just going to pay someone $50 and they're going to get it done for us. But they don't know how many deductions I can actually get. They don't know if I paid something and I can take my miles off due to my car, or if I drove for work or anything like that, unless we actually have that conversation or discussion. So this is something that we need to know what's going on when it comes to tax season and filing our taxes, and also the do's and don'ts, like what to spend your money on, what you should spend your money on. If you own a business, do you have to file taxes for both you and your business separately? If you're going through a divorce, do you still have to file with your husband? You know, if you are paying child support, do you get to claim the child? These are questions that we all have, you know, so this is why we want to bring Mr. Harris on today to pretty much answer all the questions that we have, because, you know, April 18th is the last day to file your taxes. So that's the last day. I mean, unless you're going to file an extension, but we want to know how to file an extension. So these are the questions that we also will be asking Mr. Harris today as well. Also on Revive, like I said, we do have the Truth Series, and also we have What's Buzzing that's coming up next. So we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we are going to go directly into What's Buzzing. Harmony the Goddess has a lot of information that she's going to share with you guys for what happened this week, because once again, this week was a very crazy week. It was a lot of stuff that happened this week. And if you are not sure, we are going to inform you here in Revive. So definitely stay tuned. Oh,
story of a boy who didn't talk for a long time. The boy liked things to always be the same. Any changes would scare and upset him. The unknown was an unfriendly place. The boy was very sensitive to lights and sounds. So he built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. The boy didn't like looking people in the eye. He wasn't trying to be mean. It just made him feel uncomfortable. Sometimes he would flap his arms again and again.
One day, I found out I have something called autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I found my voice and learned all the way I could live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to Revive. It's your girl, POC. You know what time it is. I'm extremely excited to be back on the airwaves each and every Sunday, just educating and re-educating always. But I did want to make sure that you guys knew that you can now listen to pre-recorded episodes of Revive at cbelifestyle.com. Once again, that is cbelifestyle.com. So if you do want to check out any pre-recorded episodes of Revive, you can now do so at cbelifestyles.com. And yes, we do have a Facebook as well. So you can now stay tuned. You can follow up with the Revive team on Facebook at Revive_POC. You guys already know the Twitter, which is Revive_POC as well. But up next, we do have What's Buzzing by Harmony the God.
What's buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as what's buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion, let's talk about it. What's buzzing? Greetings and blessings, beautiful people. This is Harmony, the goddess, coming to you live on Revive What's Buzzing, where you can follow me at Live in Harmony, the number 3 on Twitter, and also at Harmony, the goddess, on Instagram and Facebook. Also, check out cbelifestyle.com for a few blogs I've done for their artist spotlight, and just support CBE Lifestyle, who is liberating a community in so many ways. The link is on my Twitter as a pinned tweet at Live in Harmony, the number 3. Don't forget to join the conversation. So call in 215-490-9832. Also tweet at Revive_POC, hashtag What's Buzzing, hashtag Revive. Today on What's Buzzing, we are discussing issues that really affects us all in some way, and we all seek the truth. We deserve it. Do you not agree? So the first story on What's Buzzing is in remembrance of Judge Sheila Abdul-Salam. She was the first black woman judge in highest court found dead in the Hudson River on Wednesday. So before I get into the topic, I want to go ahead and play a quick video for you all, so stay tuned.
Sad news out of New York. The first African-American female and Muslim judge to serve on New York's highest bench has been found dead. NYPD officers recovered Judge Sheila Abdul-Salam's body from the Hudson River Wednesday afternoon, hours after she was reported missing by her husband. Police don't suspect foul play because there were no visible signs of trauma or physical harm to her body. The investigation is ongoing and an autopsy has been performed. Sheila Abdus-Salam leaves behind a historic legacy, which includes being the country's first Muslim female judge and the first ever African-American woman to be appointed to New York State's Court of Appeals. She began her career at East Brooklyn Legal Services and was elected to the Supreme Court in 1993. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo appointed her to the Court of Appeals in 2013. In the wake of her death, Cuomo said, "Justice Sheila Abdus-Salam was a trailblazing jurist whose life in public service was in pursuit of a more fair and more just New York for all. As the first African-American woman to be appointed to the state's Court of Appeals, she was a pioneer. Through her writings, her wisdom, and her unshakable moral compass, she was a force for good whose legacy will be felt for years to come." Sheila Abdus-Salam was just 65 years old.
So this is definitely unfortunate that we lost someone so soon, so young, and who was definitely making a change for the community. So let's talk about it. When Judge Sheila Abdus-Salam, the first black woman to serve on New York State's highest court, failed to appear at work on Wednesday, her assistant grew concerned and contacted her husband, who reported her missing. Then later that afternoon, witnesses along the Hudson River reported seeing a terrible discovery of a body floating in the water. It turned out to be Judge Sheila Abdus-Salam. She was floating in the Hudson River, fully clothed, wearing a T-shirt, a sweater, sweatpants, sneakers. They found a watch and also a Metro card in her pocket. Apparently, there were no signs of trauma. Sheila Abdus-Salam was pronounced dead at the scene in the New York's Hudson River near West 132nd Street on Wednesday about 1:45 p.m. If any of you do not know, she lived part-time on 131st Street, so that was not too far from her home. In hours after her body was found, the police said they were treating her death as a suicide. By Thursday, investigators had reached no clear conclusion, and the investigation is continuing. So police detectives are looking for civilians' video along with her possible path to see if it revealed her movements and whether or not it supported the theory that she had walked into the river. The judge, 65, had recently told friends and a doctor that she was suffering from stress, and tragedy had followed her closely. On Easter in 2012, her mother committed suicide at age 92. And then 2 years later, her brother shot himself to death as well. So since 2009, Judge Abdus-Salam had been one of seven judges on the high court. She served for about 4 years with the first division of the state Supreme Court and for 15 years as a state Supreme Court justice in Manhattan. She was previously a lawyer in the state attorney general's office. Judge Abdus-Salam was known for her steadfast liberal voice, regularly siding with immigrants, the poor, and people with mental illnesses against established interests. She also leaned toward injured parties who brought claims of fraud or misconduct against wealthy corporations. She was admired by her colleagues for her thoughtfulness and finely crafted writing style. And she was not one to use her decisions as a soapbox, even when they set precedence. I think this is definitely unfortunate that we lost someone so soon, and she was only 65. Supposedly, sources are saying that she was stressed and she was under a lot of pressure with work demands, and I feel that this is unfortunate because her close ones didn't see any signs. If this is the case, then someone should have seen some type of sign of depression or stress in that area for her. A lot of her colleagues and a lot of her friends had so many positive things to say about her and how she definitely was. She definitely made impacts in the community. But I just think this is very, very, very unfortunate right now. And I wish my sympathies to her, I pray my sympathies to her husband and to her family, and they celebrate her life and the things that she has done for her community, and not so much just mourn over her death. But I hope that they do find some type of lead on this story and figure out what happened and what's going on, because there's no way that someone just walks in the Hudson River and no one sees anything. This is New York we're talking about, where everyone, the city does not sleep. So I think it's very important that if you have seen something, please say something. Please say something. This is very important, and I think this is something that we need to figure out the truth for. Truth Heart, POC, how you feel about this?
It's so sad to think that a judge of such high esteem is really dead. It's honestly heartbreaking that we lost her in such a way, because she was such an advocate to the community, and now it's so mysterious. Now everyone is left with questions about what happened and was this a suicide. And I think that the media is going to couch it as a suicide, when, to be honest, I think that there's more to the story. There's so much more to the story. I have so many questions. And just like you said earlier, Harmony, there would be some signs. Not everyone leaves signs that they're going to in their life like this. However, oftentimes, the people that are closest to you will see that something is quote unquote off, or something is troubling you. And the simple fact that she was found fully clothed, her body untampered or not tampered with, and then she's just dead. I want them to investigate this wholeheartedly. She was a judge to the highest court in New York. I feel like she had security. I feel like there was foul play. I'm not going to necessarily say who or how I think that it was done, but something catastrophic happened. And the fact that her work came to such a short halt, and she really cannot be replaced. So somebody is obviously going to fill her spot, but the legacy that she leaves behind was a great one, because everyone who has touched on the story, or even has covered the story, even her colleagues and her family and friends that have spoken out about it, state that she was a servant to the people. And oftentimes in those political realms, people that you're dealing with don't necessarily always agree with your decisions. So those are my two cents. POC, what you think?
Me, I take it into a bigger and larger perspective. I'm looking all the way out. So in my mind, I'm thinking, so within the past 10 days, we have found two African-American judges dead. The first one was Raymond Miles, who's located in Chicago, Illinois, who was found dead, shot and killed in front of his own home with a lady female that he was going to the gym with, or that they were going running or something like that. She was in the driveway waiting for him to come out the house. And when he heard the noise, he came out the house. And when he came out the house, then that's when his life was taken. And then this week, we have a judge showing up on the shore of the Hudson River. So it's within the past 10 days, we have two judges who were on high cases, high profile cases, are now found dead. So my questions are going off crazy right now. And then to think about it, so let's just think where she was found. She was found in the Hudson River. So reports show in 2015, I couldn't find any more up-to-date ones, but in 2015, reports show that over 327 bodies were found in the Hudson River. That was 2 years ago. So 327 bodies found in the Hudson River. So in my mind, I'm thinking, what have they done in New York City to take any pre-protocol to make sure that we cannot, find any more bodies in this Hudson River? Why are there not 24-hour round-clock security circling around this park, around this river, so that we don't have 300 something odd bodies found in the river, so we can create more jobs for people who actually live in the city of New York City, which is very unaffordable, but that's a whole nother topic. But why are we not creating more jobs where we can create round the clock security for this? Why doesn't the Hudson River have 24-hour surveillance? I think it should be pretty easy to find the killer of the judges, because I personally do not agree that it was a suicide attempt. So to find the killer of the judge, because to camera security should be around the clock. I mean, 24 hours around the clock. It should be no reason why security cameras cannot find or identify who put this judge's body in this river or anyone else's body in this river. Honestly, because even if she wasn't a judge, the fact that it was a body found in a river should be light bulbs going off in everyone's head at this point. It's 2017. This sounds like some mafia type stuff. Honestly, like, this sounds like some 1980 mafia chop his head off, throw him in the water kind of thing. And honestly, I don't believe that she would commit suicide. Yes, reporters did find out and also admitted that, you know, her mom committed suicide as well as her brother. But I don't think that would reflect on her as well. I do think that can take a toll on someone's mental. Yes, that is agreed. But honestly, if you think about it, this happened 2 years ago and her mom happened back in 2012. So she still was able to do the job. She was still able to keep a straight head on her shoulders the entire time, because it's now 2017. So it wasn't a lack of she wasn't lacking anything. So I honestly don't think that this was a suicide attempt. And then another thing, that the timeline just doesn't add up. Honestly, the timeline just doesn't add up. So she called her secretary on Tuesday stating that she wasn't going to work. But at the same time, her husband called into police and said that she was missing. So what is it? Did she talk to someone on Tuesday, or was she missing on Tuesday? That's another question that's just popping up in my head. And then for the same day, for them to say that this was a suicide attempt, they didn't even give the autopsy. The autopsy didn't even come out yet. And before the autopsy came out, they just said, oh, yo, this was a suicide attempt because people in her family have done it before. So we're just going to go with this. No, we want to know the truth. We want to know what's going on. She needs to be on everyone's conscious mind at this time, because this is absurd. Honestly, this is something that we need to know the answers of. We're not just going to rule this a suicide attempt and throw this one under the rug. No. And then it was a double standard that she had to face each and every day. Each and every day. One, she was African-American. Two, she was a female. Well, a woman. I'm sorry. I do apologize, because she was a grown woman. Two, she was a woman. Three, she was the first judge. The first judge of Muslim descent that was to sit on this court. So it's we just have to understand what's going on. And then I'm thinking a little, I'm going to reach a little further. This was New York City, which is Trump's America, who craps on Muslims all the time. The religion of Muslims, like, literally talks about them as if they're just the scum of the earth or something. But she, and then the thing about it, me doing my research, come to find out, she wasn't born a Muslim. She was given, she came into the religion due to her marriage. So that's another thing that plays in my head as well, because she wasn't born a Muslim. That wasn't like her first religion that she stole upon. This was something that, you know, she got married into. So that's something that also just, you know, goes off in my head as well. So I'm sending my prayers to her family. I'm sending my prayers up to her as well. We just got blessed with another angel. But at the same time, I want to understand why we gained an angel, if that makes sense. So definitely from the Revive team and me, myself, we're definitely going to follow this story to make sure that we get the answers that you are looking for as well as what we're looking for. But Harmony, what's up next on What's Buzzing?
So for someone who had the type of power she was entrusted with, she was so humble. And like Ms. POC had stated, we definitely need to seek the truth and further investigation around this issue, because we need answers. There needs to be surveillance. There needs to be some type of form of discussion on what happened with Judge Shelia Abdus-Salam. But next on What's Buzzing is a former Patriot tight end, Aaron Hernandez, found not guilty on double murder charges. Former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez was found not guilty on two murder charges Friday in Massachusetts. Hernandez, already serving a life sentence for an unrelated murder, was acquitted of first-degree murder charges in the killing two men in Boston in 2013. Prosecutors said Hernandez fatally shot Daniel and Safiro at a traffic light. Allegedly, the cause is over a spilled drink in a bar on Hernandez, but inside a Boston nightclub. The jury found Hernandez guilty on one count of unlawful possession of a firearm. Supposedly, he did have a track record of acts of aggression, and it's unfortunate, but people are really killing people for the most tedious things. And he is now serving a life sentence in the prison. And so I just my hearts go out to the family, and the jury did not count for none of the other acts that he was counted for. He was counted for unlawful possession of a firearm. So who did kill these people if he wasn't counted for? But we do have a video that I would like to play for y'all, so stay tuned.
Charging murder in the first degree. Victim Daniel D. Abreu. You find the defendant not guilty, guilty of murder in the first degree, or guilty of murder in the second degree?
Not guilty.
Former Florida Gator and New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez found not guilty of murder today, at least not guilty of the two most recent murders he's accused of. As the convicted killer heard the verdicts, people in the courtroom were crying. Lisa Moeller from our station in Boston has more.
Victim Daniel D. Abreu, you find the defendant not guilty, guilty of murder in the first degree, or guilty of murder in the second degree?
Not guilty.
Emotion written all over the face of a normally unmoved Aaron Hernandez. After 6 days of deliberations, a jury clearing the former Patriots star of all counts, including murder, only finding him guilty of a firearms possession charge.
Victim, Zafiro Furtado, you find the defendant not guilty, guilty of murder in the first degree, or guilty of murder in the second degree?
Not guilty.
Relatives of the victims doubled over in anguish.
Not guilty.
And Aaron Hernandez's fiance, Cheyenne Jenkins Hernandez, wept, a tissue still to her face as she left the courtroom without a word.
Aaron is a beautiful young man, happy-go-lucky young man.
Defense attorney Ronald Sullivan told reporters that justice prevailed and pointed the finger at Hernandez's ex-pal, Alexander Bradley, the prosecution's star witness.
The actual perpetrator of the crime was given immunity by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
But Suffolk County District Attorney Dan Conley maintained that Aaron Hernandez gunned down Daniel De Abreu and Safiro Furtado in a car in Boston's Theater District in 2012.
The only one who was responsible was Aaron Hernandez, and he was not found guilty by the jury. And again, I disagree with that, but we respect it.
Aaron Hernandez will now return home to the Susan Baranowski Correctional Center to serve out the rest of a life sentence for the murder of Odin Lloyd.
So in the video, the jury found Hernandez guilty on one account of unlawful possession of a firearm. So there was numerous accounts for this case, and he was only found guilty for the unlawful possession of a firearm. And I would like to know who else killed them, if they have any leads on that. But he is serving a life sentence in the prison, and he does have a track record of acts of aggression. So my heart goes out to the family, and hopefully they serve justice and find the people who actually did kill them and book them for this case.
How do you feel, Trevor? It's so, I feel like I start every story off like this, but it's honestly heartbreaking because I feel like he struggles with aggression. And he doesn't necessarily know how to control his anger. And in research, this isn't his first, murder charge. So he is just really quick to grab a gun and ultimately shoot somebody. So I think that there is
there's things that he needs to address, whether it be from his past or whether how he deals with things. But ultimately, I know that his family and his friends are probably just so shocked that he would turn out to be this guy who was basically facing multiple murder charges. So ultimately, I just feel like he needs to sit down, think about everything, like think about the part that he played in it, and then kind of go from there. But once again, thoughts and prayers to all the victims involved in the case and him, his wife, and just his family in general. POC, how about yourself?
To me, it's just crazy to think that someone, like one man, can be on trial for three murders. Literally three murders. He's on trial at the same time for three murders. He was convicted for a murder which gave him a life sentence in jail. And then while he's already in jail, he's on trial again for two murders, two homicides. Like, he's killing people out here. And to think that at that time, he was only 22 years old. 22 years old with millions of dollars in his pocket. It's just crazy for me to think, all right, what are they helping the college athletes? What are they teaching the college athletes? Are these college athletes going to any kind of anger management classes? Anything like that? Because it's crazy to think that one person can be on trial for three murders. And the guy that he killed in 2012, I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Lloyd. That was his wife, I mean, his fiance's friend's boyfriend. So that was someone who was close to home. So that wasn't a stranger, anyone. And every time that one of the murders occurred and his name got attached to it was because of something that started in a bar. Why is he not on the football field? He's getting paid millions of dollars and he's in a bar each and every weekend starting drama. So he lost his career. He lost his life due to a spilled drink. So the first encounter with the guy with the last name Lloyd, they were in a bar and they got into it. And two nights later, his body turns up dead. And it's like, okay, you found the tire. They found tire tracks. They found shoe prints. They even found the gun. Well, they couldn't find the gun because they on camera in his own house, mind you, in his own house. So he got caught up. The very first murder, he got caught up by the surveillance cameras that was in his very own house. So that's even funnier to me because it's like, you're not even smart. What you're doing is not smart. What you're doing is just out of anger and frustration because you don't know how to control yourself. And there's a lot of people out here just killing people because they don't know how to control their anger and frustration. But he got caught up. So he told his wife, well, his fiance, to dispose of this box. And then she takes the stand and acts as though that she doesn't remember what happened to the box, or she doesn't remember what dumpster or where she put the box at in the dumpster. So it's just a lot of unanswered questions. And then the second double homicide murder, he was in a car. I mean, he was in a bar and the guy bumped him accidentally. My guess is that he bumped him accidentally and spilled the drink. And when he spilled his drink, he got disrespectful. And when he got disrespectful, Hernandez got upset and followed them out the club. Follow them to a light or a stop sign where they stopped and start spraying bullets through the passenger side of the vehicle. Then he hides the vehicle in his cousin's car. I mean, in his cousin's house. He hides the car in his cousin's house, which was a silver SUV, and they finally found it. And once they found it, they knew that he was the guy who killed these people. And regardless, if you think about it, he's still going to be in jail for the rest of his life because he killed someone. So what makes the jury think that he did not kill these two gentlemen? So honestly, this story is just something that is amazing to me, shocking to me to even understand. How can a million-dollar man be out in the streets with carrying a gun, not saying that he cannot carry a gun to protect himself, but carrying a gun, but uses that every time he gets upset, every time he gets frustrated. And then it all occurs in a bar. literally, this whole situation occurs in a bar. Each and every time he got into an incident, it occurred in a bar, meaning he was either intoxicated or he was on under some kind of other substance, because they showed that he was that he was high off of marijuana at the time. So there are a lot of unanswered questions that's going on with this case. My thoughts and prayers are definitely with the families of the two victims, as well as the third victim who was shot and killed and murdered. It's just something that we just have to follow. It's something that we have to educate ourselves around and just understand that everyone at the end of the day, these celebrities, these football players, these athletes are still human. So, you know, we can't continue to put these people on a pedestal like they cannot do anything wrong. So definitely we just got to keep our eyes open. We got to stay awake, definitely, because this is something that shocked the hell out of me, honestly. But what's next on What's Buzzing, Harmony?
All right. So next on What's Buzzing, I feel if you Google Trump War, World War III, nuclear war, is definitely going to come up, and it's going to appear to rise over Syria, North Korea, and Afghanistan. On April 6th, the U.S. launched 59 missiles toward a Syrian airfield. 2 days later, a Navy strike group moved toward the Korean Peninsula. On Thursday, Trump ordered the dropping of America's biggest non-nuclear bomb. It's called the mother of all bombs, and the real name is Massive Ordnance Air Blast in Afghanistan. So I would like to play a clip for you, so please stay tuned before we get into this topic.
Harmony, you got all the clips today.
So the U.S. Air Force dropped a 21,000-pound bomb in eastern Afghanistan, the first use ever of this weapon in combat. This is a weapon called the Massive Ordnance Air Blast Bomb. It was dropped in eastern Afghanistan in Nangarhar province against a complex of ISIS tunnels, personnel that had been assembling in that area of Nangarhar. The U.S. military had this weapon in development for years, but now today, just a few hours ago, dropping the bomb in combat, according to U.S. officials, for the first time ever. This massive 21,000-pound bomb, we have video we're showing of the testing of the bomb, but again, not used in combat until today, we are told. This is such a heavy bomb, such a large bomb. It is put in the back of a cargo plane, a special operations cargo plane, and basically pushed out the back of it. Now they've dropped it on this ISIS complex of fighters in eastern Afghanistan. This is an area where just a few days ago, a U.S. special operations soldier was killed in action in a firefight with ISIS fighters. It's an area the U.S. has been trying to go after to clear ISIS out of there. An extraordinary use of this weapon, to put mildly how seriously the U.S. Air Force takes this bomb. The official name is the Massive Ordnance Air Blast Bomb, MOAB, MOAB. The nickname inside the Air Force for this, quite seriously, is the mother of...
The mother of all bombs, the Massive Ordnance Air Blast. I know you just heard the clips. And yes, I do have many clips because it's good to hear it from, you know, different perspectives, because some people do not just watch the news and some people don't, research these things. So it's definitely important to hear it out of another mouth, I would say. But the mother of all bombs, compact to self-styled Islamic State terror network. The attack marked the first time that the weapon, the United States' largest non-nuclear bomb, was used in combat. Up to 36 Islamic State militants were reportedly killed in the attack, which targeted caves and tunnels. The 21,600-pound bomb was dropped in the eastern province of Nangarhar, which borders Pakistan. To remind you, it was the largest non-nuclear bomb ever dropped by the U.S. military. CNN is reporting at least 94 Islamic State fighters were killed when the U.S. military dropped America's most powerful non-nuclear bomb on ISIS targets in Afghanistan. This bomb was designed in 2002 and then finished in 2003. And my question is, how a single bomb cost $16 million and what was the point of dropping this non-nuclear bomb on the areas of ISIS. What were you trying to do? What was the mission? Was the mission accomplished? We don't have any answers, but we just see clips of bombing an area that only went 6 feet underground. I feel corporate is in greed of this, and is definitely going to drive us into bankruptcy. Trump does have a track record of that. But since Trump's record, he used over $500,000 in election funds. The bomb cost $16 million that only killed, sources say, 36, and CNN is reporting 96. But if you think about it, 59 missiles in Syria cost $60 million. One bomb in Afghanistan cost $16 million. That's $75 million in the last week. But no money... But there's no money for Meals on Wheels. There's no money for school lunches. There's no money to rebuild the community where I see a homeless person every day on the corner in Philadelphia. I'm confused. Where's all this money coming from? And why is it not being better? Why is it not being used better in the United States? Why are we worrying so much about other countries? That's just my thoughts. It really is. I had watched a clip about Trump in his election stating that he could bomb Fifth Ave and people would still love him. And I think that's true. He definitely knows his fan base because people are not even questioning, why are you bombing Syria that's costing millions of dollars and not putting this money towards something that could definitely make a benefit in our community? So that's just kind of my take on that. And just it leaves me with so many unanswered questions of thousands of Americans getting killed. And just because the little boys want to play with the toys, I feel like the boys want to play with the toy now that Obama and the real adults are out of the office. And that's just my take on that. How about you?
Honestly, I agree. You said the little boys want to play with toys. And if that isn't the truest thing that has been said, I just can't believe that a week ago we were just talking about Syria, about the chemical attack, about how Donald Trump was so sad about all the bloodshed. And then he goes and drops the mother of all bombs. Like, that's not going to create bloodshed? Right. I'm confused. Just like POC always says, I want to know more information. I want to know what exactly one led up to all this, and now I'm thinking about retaliation. Mm-hmm. I told myself today, I gotta go to the gym because I need to be look. Stay ready, so you won't have to get ready. I just need to know what's about to happen because he has this big initiative to fight the war on terror. Like, honestly, terror hasn't been going on for so long. The war has been going on for so long. If you think about 9/11 happened 2001, it is 2017. We have been fighting this fight for so long, and senseless violence has occurred. Civilians are losing their lives. Innocent children are losing their lives. But here in America, we don't even care about children and gun violence. Thinking about San Bernardino. Honestly, it's not necessarily a bomb that dropped, but we're not necessarily getting that children and lives are affected. So we don't even necessarily care about the American people. And Americans have this thing where it's just like, well, if it don't affect me, I can care less. And people are actually supporting this. Several people are like, well, Trump did it, so I'm just going to be with it. And that's not the case. That cannot happen. And then you said earlier that he didn't even necessarily have to give the okay. He's the commander in chief. So he doesn't have to give the okay. My thoughts and prayers go out to all veterans, anybody who is currently serving and who has served in the armed forces, because it's clearly not an easy job.
I feel like people are still in Afghanistan and still fighting these wars. So it's like they don't even have a choice for their own life, because they have to be in the middle of Trump's playfulness of these bombs. And not giving us any reasoning behind the bombs. And I think that is profound to even understand. Honestly, I think it's profound to understand that you don't even have a choice to to fight for your life, because you now you're fighting for this president who really doesn't care about your life. He just wants to set off these bombs that never been set off before. And so why now is a the perfect time? Why now? Why now, Trump? Why?
It honestly really seems like a pissing match. Like, well, I'm going to be over here, but no, I can be on this street. It's just like dogs. I'm really confused. And when you were talking, I thought about how our parents used to say, oh, it's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. But now people are getting hurt. Right. People have been getting hurt. So the game is over. You can't piss on this tree and be like, oh, well, I'm just big and bad. Somebody else is thinking of a big, more catastrophic plan, and more people are going to get hurt. Blood and blood don't mix. It only creates more blood, yeah. Honestly. So, POC, what you got to say?
Once again, I'm thinking about it on a larger scale, honestly, because I just learned, well, we all just learned through this situation occurring, is that he doesn't have to give the final say-so. In my mind, for the past 25 years, I have been thinking that the president, the commander-in-chief, has the big red button, and once they press it, it's on go. But this time around, Donald Trump was actually on a flight to Palm Springs, Florida, to get back on the golf course. So he had nothing to do with this. So this one we cannot necessarily blame on Donald Trump, but we can blame him because he's the antagonizer of them all. He's the one that says, we're going to get ISIS, we're going to kill all the ISIS, we're going to do this to ISIS, blah, blah, blah. So everyone who actually voted for Donald Trump was excited. They were like, yay, keep going, keep killing them, keep bombing ISIS. So they wasn't questioning it like we are questioning, like, so what's going on, why did this happen, why did this occur? It was like, keep going, because this is something that he promised them that he were gonna go out and bomb ISIS. And that's exactly what happened within his first 100 days. Within the first 100 days, this man has now had 59 missiles, like Harmony stated, and then now has dropped the mother of all bombs within the first 100 days. So it's like, what is really going on? Mind you, we have 4 years of this man. We have 4 years of this man. Mind you, he's in cahoots with Russia at this point, who is in cahoots with Syria. So it's like, what is really going on? What don't we know? Like Trueheart just said, stay ready so we don't have to get ready, people. Inform yourselves. I do understand that this is information that you guys do not want to listen to, hear, pay attention to. When you get home from work, you don't have time to be sitting down worrying about ISIS and these bombs. But for honestly, if you want to take care of yourself and your family, educate yourself. This is something that you need to be bringing back to the table at dinner. Like, yo, so did you hear about what happened today? Did you know what happened today? Did you know that the CIA funded these tunnels for ISIS when they left the first time? All of the equipment and everything was still there. And then another thing that really shocked me, really, really shocked me, or just left questions in my mind, was, so they had the ability to show us an entire video, literally an entire video of the bomb being dropped out of the cargo plane onto the cave. But they don't have enough intelligence to give us information about why, when, who, you know what I mean? The four W's, what, why, and who, and when, and why. Honestly, why don't we know more information? So that is what's going on. Like, who was in the cave at this time? What was in the cave with them at this time? Did we bomb something that we actually needed? Did we bomb anyone who that could help us bring forth so we can, you know, cut out all the fighting? Who was in this cave and what was in the cave now that I want to know? I want to know. If you have the ability to show me an entire video of the bomb being dropped, and once the bomb being dropped, the explosive that came after it, why can't you tell me who and what was in this cave? And why we went after this cave? That's what I want to know. That's really just something that I really need to know. And then the money that comes behind it is, so is there another bomb? Is there another mother of all bombs somewhere? Are they building another mother of all bombs? Because if it costs $16 million to build one, how many more do we have to build to be ISIS, or to defend ourselves from ISIS? Because we have to understand that they're going to retaliate sooner than later. They're not going to allow us to keep just coming over there and blowing things up. Something is going to happen. I'm sure they're planning right now, or they've been planning for a while now. And then to know that Donald J. Trump is our president, they're really planning. because they know that Donald J. Trump hates Muslims. They know that Donald J. Trump hates ISIS. They know that Donald J. Trump promised the American people that he will bomb ISIS every chance that he gets. And then now to know that he doesn't even have the say-so, he doesn't even have to run this past Congress, the people on the ground can actually make these decisions, it's like, whoa. So they don't even have to call. They don't have to, you know, send a pigeon saying, yo, we about to drop this bomb. And this happened on a Wednesday, a random Wednesday. So this is something that we really just need to know. This is something that we cannot sleep on. This is something that we must stay woke, like stay woke, stay awoken on this situation. Educate yourself. Also educate your family. If you learn something new, share it. Do not be the oppressor. Do not withhold information. Pass that information on so we all can be on the same page. Because when it comes down to it, we're all going to be running for our lives. No matter if you're a billionaire, millionaire, a thousandaire, if you only got $2 in your pockets, we all going to be running the same. We all going to be running. We all going to be fighting that same fight, honestly. So pass that information on. Do not be the oppressor. Pass along that information. But Harmony, is that it? What else left on What's Buzzing?
That's basically it. And I definitely concur with you because I feel that war on terror is just instilling fear into people's mind. And I think that's what really America is about, is instilling fear and instilling terror on this earth. It's about being a bully and it plans to grow in destruction. So let's talk about retaliation, as you spoke about earlier, POC. These people are not just going to sit back. They definitely have something planned up their sleeve. But lastly, I just want to give a blessing to Mother Earth. Her Earth Day is on April 22nd, 2017, this Saturday coming up. So definitely check out the NASA website. They have a lot of resources to check out and how to support Mother Earth on a better platform, because she needs love. She definitely needs love. She shows us abundantly love. But that's all, folks, for What's Buzzing. You can follow me at Live in Harmony, the number 3 on Twitter. Also, you can follow me at Harmony the Goddess on Instagram and Facebook. Also, check out CBELifestyle.com for a few blogs I did for their artist spotlight. And just support CBE Lifestyle because they are a dope organization and definitely about liberation for the community. The link is definitely on my Twitter as a pin tweet at Live in Harmony, the number 3. And just call in if you want to join the conversation, 215-490-9832, and also tweet at @Revive_POC.
You said you did some blogs. What was your blogs about? Tell the people a little bit about your blogs.
Just different artist spotlights. They had different artists for brands. One had a clothing brand that is improving and going behind heights. They also had an artist that is a rapper, and then also is doing work for the youth community as well and taking her kids to South Africa. And then there's just more blogs as well coming soon. So definitely check that out on CBE Lifestyle.
Thank you for that. What's Buzzing? Thank you for that. What's Buzzing? It was definitely informative. And we had some great conversations as well here in the studio. And that's what we want to bring back. We want people to understand that power lies within your words. Words hold weight. Words are very powerful. And we do believe here at Revive that the power of communication will bring back unity in all of our surrounding communities. I definitely believe that myself, that communication will bring back so much unity. And once we start to talk to each other, learn how to talk to each other and not talk at each other, we can change. Literally, a lot around us can change once we learn how to talk and communicate effectively and efficiently to one another. But we do, once again, have the Truth Series coming up as well on Revive, but we also have a guest coming up on Revive as well. His name is James Harris. He will break down everyone's questions on taxes. He will give us the do's and don'ts and also the ins and outs when it comes to filing your taxes. So make sure you guys stay tuned to our guest we have coming up on Revive, Mr. James Harris. He is definitely going to drop some knowledge on you when it comes to filing your taxes, because remember, the last day to file your taxes is April 18th. This year is April 18th. And we also want to know why it's not the 15th this year. So we definitely want to inform you guys on why it's the 18th and not the 15th. And the only person that can do that here on Revive is Mr. James Harris. So make sure you guys stay tuned. I do believe he will be an asset to the show. Well, I know he will be an asset to the show because based on the knowledge that he will bring, we'll be right back after this commercial break. Make sure you guys stay tuned.
Everyone is sorry. Everyone says, I won't do it again. Bottom line, drinking under the age of 21 is illegal. Drinking and driving is illegal. It's the law. There are consequences. The consequences of driving under the influence are huge. You will do community service, lose your driver's license, get arrested, do jail time. If you get arrested for DUI, the costs to defend yourself are very expensive. Your parents can be forced to pay for lawsuits, legal fees, and damage to people or property. DUI can also ruin your chances to get into college or get a good job. The law doesn't stop at drinking and driving. If you're underage, there are consequences for buying alcohol with a fake ID, for being in possession of alcohol, and for any consumption of alcohol. Think twice. Don't drink. Don't drink and drive. Speak up.
Somebody brought up Rick James. I'm just eating, and Charlie goes, I had to fight that mother like four times.
Charlie's story led to a sketch called Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories about his wild adventures with Rick James in the 80s.
We went to Studio 54. We walking up into the VIP section, and I'm looking around to see who's there, and looking at the girls and everything, and all of a sudden I heard something go, Charlie Murphy!
Dave was, I think the word is possessed. He was just talking extemporaneously as Rick.
Hold my drink, bitch.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Only advice Chappelle gave Charlie was like, tell a story.
I waited because I knew what hotel he was staying in. Went up to his room, knocked on the door.
Charlie Murphy!
What he's coming for, I just can't. Bah!
I don't think that's gravitationally possible, but Charlie believes it. So we'll put harness on Dave, and then he flies and breaks the mirror.
Come over here and have sex with Charlie Murphy. I'm Rick James, bitch.
To say that Rick James is a habitual line stepper.
Habitually, he's a habitual line stepper.
It's like no one's ever said that about anyone.
He would go over the top.
Yo, couch.
And then I would check him.
There's some real that he witnessed and was involved in, and to remember all those little nuances.
Slap!
I mean, even when slapping was fashionable, and, you know, they would have a gunfight after that. Somebody had to go.
A lot of people don't believe him until you run into the mother he was talking about, and you're like, yep, that's how it went.
We have a lot.
Thank you.
about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is.
Open up your ears.
You know what time it is.
Open up your mind.
It's about that time.
And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl, POC. I'm back on these airways each and every Sunday, each and every Wednesday. Make sure you guys spread the word that you can hear me at timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to tunein.com or download the TuneIn app and just search timeforanawakening.com. I'm sorry, just search Time for an Awakening. I'm so used to saying the .com part. You can just search Time for an Awakening, and you can hear me, your girl POC, live every Wednesday, every Sunday. You also can tweet me at Revive_POC. You can also find me on Facebook at Revive_POC as well. And you can join the conversation anytime throughout the show at 215-490-9832. But up next, we do have the Truth Series by True Heart.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? It's the Truth Series.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Truth Series. This is your girl, True Heart, coming to you live on Revive. So, today is April 16th, 2017. Also, if you are Christian and you are at church right now, happy Easter to all who is celebrating today. Once again, this is your girl, True Heart, with another segment of the True Series. You can follow Higher Level Communication on all our social media platforms. Do not forget that the True Series is brought to you by Higher Level Communication, which is where you can find your daily inspirational posts, motivation, and communication tips. On Instagram and Facebook, it is Higher Level Communication. Once again, it's Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook. And on Twitter, it's a little different, but it's Higher Level Com. Higher Level COMM. And this is the Truth Series. We'll be here every Sunday. Every Sunday. The show goes on from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can tune in on timeforawakening.com/revive. And if anything that I'm talking about on the Truth Series ever resonates with you, you can always call in at 215-490-9832. Again, the call-in number is 215-490-9832. And you can tweet me on Higher Level Calm. So let's jump right into it. Today's topic on the True Series is confidence. Today's topic on the True Series is confidence. And I brought this up because this week, a lot of things happen, and I'm like, what should I talk about? And last week I talked about preparation, which honestly I had to remind myself about what I talked about because y'all remember grad school I was telling y'all about? Bruh. I just submitted my application on the last day, which was yesterday. So I was not fully 100% prepared. I procrastinated on that one. But jumping back into today's topic, which is confidence, a lot of things happen, so I wanted to bring it up on this platform and just share a little bit about what came to mind. If POC or Harmony want to jump in the conversation, you guys are more than welcome to as well. And if you guys want to jump in the conversation, the call-in number is 215-490-9832. But this week, I realized that confidence is really everything. If you do not believe in yourself, nobody is really going to believe in you. You have to understand that you bring something so unique to the table that no one else brings at all. Sure, it's okay to emulate people. Sure, it's okay to look at other people like, wow, they're so cool. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. But you don't have to be envious because God or your higher power or whoever you want to believe in made you unique. Nobody can do it like you at all. We have to stop comparing ourselves to other people and start walking confidently with our head up. We see so many different things, whether it's on our phones or the computers or the TV, and
the media makes it so cool to live this type of lifestyle or look like this or look like that when we really don't even necessarily know ourselves. For real, the people that we're looking at on our phones or TVs and Instagram and Facebook and all these other things, they have fame and fortune, which is honestly a great thing to have. However, it's not everything. If you don't love yourself, really, no one else can fully love you because you need to love yourself. So stop comparing yourself to other people because they do not have what you have. For real, there's enough room for everybody to win. There really is. There's enough God for everyone. There's enough room for everyone to win. You can be great and someone else can be just as great. It's a crab in a barrel mentality a lot of times where we want to be better than our counterpart when that's honestly not the case. You don't necessarily have to compete with someone else around you. You are your biggest competition. You have to win over you. You have to be a better person than you were yesterday. As long as you're a better person than you were yesterday, that's the only thing that matters. No one else in the room matters because no one else, for real, can dim your shine. Everyone has a light. If everyone let their own light shine, we would all come together and create one large community. Just because you want to do something, don't shy away from doing it because someone else is doing it. Keep in mind, nobody does it like you. When you love yourself enough, you'll be able to elevate higher and walk in your purpose. If you don't necessarily love yourself, you can't get anybody else to love you. So just remember, stop comparing yourself to other people. One quote that I love is by Theodore Roosevelt, and it honestly states, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And when I say that this is so true, and I had to remind myself of this even yesterday, stop comparing yourself to other people because you'll never really get far. We get stuck in our own heads and we get so paranoid about what's going on or if I'm saying this or I'm doing this like somebody else. And that's really not the case. One thing that helped me to come into my own or be confident or anything like that was writing things down. When you write things down and you're sure of yourself, not only does that allow you to dig deeper within yourself, but it helps you track out your life. Oftentimes when we're comparing things, we're like, oh, I want this, I want this. Well, ask yourself, how hard are you going to work to get to that next level? How hard are you going to grind or grow to get to that next level? Write things down. Whatever you write down, whatever you think will manifest and come into your life. For real, what are you waiting for? Start where you are. Start with what you already have and just go for it. Stop waiting for your family or friends' approval. Why do you need approval? Just go. Just start. Look at POC. If she would have let any other naysayer say it, she wouldn't have the revived platform that is growing and developing every single day with the True Series and Harmony to the Goddess is sharing news and current events and trending topics and topics that we need to be talking about. That's just one example. If she would have let people get in her way, then we wouldn't even necessarily, or the whole Revive team wouldn't have a platform to share this great thing. What are you waiting for? Ask yourself, really, on this Easter Sunday, what are you waiting for? What is getting in your way? You want to lose weight? Okay. Are you doing something about it? Or are you going to continue to do the same thing? Doing the same thing is going to create insanity. We do the same thing expecting different results. Does that really make sense? It doesn't. It doesn't at all. Stop doing the same thing and expecting different results. Stop saying the same thing. Stop thinking the same way. Because honestly, if you continue to say the same thing, think the same way, nothing is going to change. In case you forgot, I said it before and I'll say it again. There is no one on earth like you. So stop comparing yourself. Do not let comparison steal your joy, your peace, your greatness. Be you. There's enough room for everyone to be great. And there's a difference between confidence and cocky. You can be confident. You can walk with your head held high. You can go into a room and say, I am here and this is what I bring. Cockiness, for real, is just a front. It's just a stunt. You don't have to be cocky. You can be confident and love yourself enough to know what you expect and know that you want better and know that if you go into a room, this is what I expect and this is the type of level of respect that I want and I deserve. When you don't love yourself, people just want to take advantage of you. So be confident, know and get to love yourself enough that honestly anybody that doesn't love yourself or any negativity that's trying to detract you will bounce right off. Guys, just remember to be confident. Be confident. Write down things that you love about yourself. Write down things that you want to improve on. Just write it down and watch it come to fruition. Things that we think about will come to pass. Think about it. When we were little kids and we was in school writing down our little goals and stuff, and then life happened and we don't necessarily get back to those goals, tap in. Create some time to yourself. Make it happen. I'll give you an example, right? So I was in school. This was some odd years ago. I was in college, and my friend and I were talking about running for Student Senate, which is our, oftentimes on campus, they call it SGA, which is Student Government Association. And I was already a committee chair, but my friend came to me and was like, I want to run for president. I'm like, what? Word. I'm a great friend, so I'm going to encourage him. And then he's like, I want you to be my VP. I said, hold up, wait a minute. Wait, what? I wasn't down for it. But after some conversations, after looking at my track record, I was more than equipped to do the job. More than equipped. But I was doubting myself. I had to have some self-talks with True Heart to say, no, can't nobody do the job like you can. You know the organization. You know the people. You've already made your mark. Why not go for the title? And it's honestly, it was for real purpose, not position, because if I got it or not, I was still going to grind hard within the organization. But it was some adversity that we faced because we were running together and we made change. We made waves on that campus. But if I wasn't necessarily confident in myself, I wouldn't have even ran with him. And we got the ticket. We ran. We were student vice president and president for the whole year. And some campaigns that we created during our reign on campus are still to this day. And I graduated 2 years ago now. So just believing in yourself and knowing that you have something that nobody else has is an amazing, amazing thing. Just be confident. Remember to follow me on Higher Level Communication at Instagram and Facebook, Higher Level Com on Twitter. And you can always call in at 215-490-9832. And it's not too late to join the 21 Daily Affirmation Challenge, which is going on all my social networks on Higher Level Communication. You can jump on. Guys, it's been feeding my soul. So I know that if you tune in, it'll feed your soul as well. So that's the 21 Day Daily Affirmation Challenge, Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And if anyone wants to personally connect with me, you can go ahead and shoot me an email at higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. This is another segment of the Truth Series. Be well, guys.
Thank you for that excellent Truth Series. And I definitely also agree that you have to be confident. You must be confident each and everything that you do, because people will walk over you nowadays. You know what I mean? And if you don't have that confidence to know that you're supposed to be here, if you don't have that confidence to own it, then you will never be where you want to get in life. You have to first know yourself, love yourself, trust yourself, be about yourself. You know what I mean? Put yourself, a lot of people try to put other people before them. I believe in putting yourself first, because without you, you can't help anyone else. If you don't know who you are, if you don't love yourself, how can you love or help anyone else? That's how I feel, honestly. You know what I mean? So I definitely love your Truth Series that you came today. And definitely, man, prepare yourself better. Don't just be waiting till the last minute with those applications. You know what I'm saying? You need to be in grad school for all of us. We all need to get in grad school. But up next, like I said, we do have our guest coming onto the Revive platform. His name, once again, is James Harris. He will be on Revive today to break down everyone's questions that they have on taxes. Once again, he will give us the do's and don'ts, and also the ins and outs when it comes to filing your taxes. Once again, this is now 2017 tax season, so make sure you stay tuned to Revive platform so you can get your questions answered. If you do have any questions for Mr. Harris during the conversation we're having on Revive, you can join the conversation at 215-490-9832. We are going to go into a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
the unity part, about Trump's need to bring everyone together, but I disagree about the white lash. And the reason is that President Obama got elected in 2008, and he got reelected. And a lot of white people came out and voted for him. He got a lot of those voters. The country united in 2008. I don't care if you were Hispanic or African-American or Caucasian. I don't care what you were. You united under his message of hope and change, and then you reelected him. So I don't think people were rejecting President Obama. This had nothing to do with race for me. This had to do with two flawed candidates and people wanting change, just the way they did want in 2008. They wanted change. And this time they wanted an outsider, and they looked at Hillary Clinton and they said, I don't think she's going to bring change. I think she's part of the establishment. The system is broken. She's part of a broken system. Let's go with someone else.
President Obama did not pour gasoline on racism and say, go light a match. He did not do that. This guy did that. That's the difference between Obama and Trump.
But they weren't voting against President Obama. They're voting against Hillary Clinton.
This guy exacerbated and pulled out of the woodwork all the racism that was underlying there.
One thing that happened, though, I was actually talking with Matthew Dowd behind the scenes, and he was saying that some of the people that didn't actually show up were Democrats. And one of the things that could be identified as a problem is, right away from the beginning, everyone put their weight behind, well, Hillary will be the candidate. It was almost like, I'm not saying any systems were rigged. I'm just saying the DNC in their own mind and everyone in the public had decided Hillary's going to be our representative. But they maybe didn't listen to what other people in the party may have wanted, because that was the number that didn't reflect what everyone else was saying.
Yeah, that's probably true. That they didn't have enough of a primary fight
really go back and forth. And Donald Trump actually had a higher turnout in Latino and Black voters than Mitt Romney did.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he said the system was rigged.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC back on the mic in the 1, 2, 3. It's like, now I was about to kick a freestyle, but I was just playing. So we're back on Revive right now. I do want to thank both Harmony the Goddess and also True Heart for both of their segments here on Revive, the Sunday edition of Revive with the Truth Series and also What's Buzzing. But up next, we do have our guest today on Revive, which is Mr. James Harris, who will break down the do's and don'ts and also the ins and outs about filing your taxes. True Heart will introduce our guest so we can get the conversation going.
So today on Revive, we have James Harris, who is a native of Philadelphia, who studied accounting at the University of Phoenix. He has several certifications related to tax accounting and insurance. For the past 35 years, he has been self-employed and a small business owner, launching his first business at 12 years old. For almost 30 years, James Harris has been in the financial service industry, providing personal insurance products, tax accounting, small business accounting services, coaching / consulting to small business owners and startups. His specialty and passion is working with self-employed and small business owners. His current projects include launching an educational-based nonprofit to serve pre-K children and their families. He's also consulting with startup nonprofits to navigate business formation and qualify for the 501c3 status with the Internal Revenue Service, also known as the IRS. And he's consulting with health and wellness professionals to be of greater value to their patients and clients while making the practice more profitable. Welcome, James Harris, to the Revive platform.
Good morning. It's so good to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Harris, for being on the Revive platform for us today. We really do appreciate you coming through and definitely dropping this knowledge on us and informing us on, you know, taxes, because, you know, us as millennials, this is a millennial radio show. Us as millennials, we don't know too much when it comes to taxes. So, you know, it's getting close to the deadline. And before the deadline actually comes, I want to make sure that I was able to educate my listening audience surrounding it. So if you can go ahead and introduce yourself to the listening audience and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Okay. Well, again, I'm happy to be here. As I mentioned, I'm James Harris. I'm a native of Philadelphia. And I was sort of raised on the idea of self-employment and small business ownership. Good parenting. I come from a long family background of small business owners and self-employed. In fact, in our family, if you didn't at least have a side hustle, we looked at you kind of crazy. So I really like to see all people, especially our younger generation, our millennials. They're really getting out there, and they are clear that they want to make a difference, and not only in their income and their money, but they want to make an impact on the world. And they see entrepreneurship as being a pathway to get that done. So I love working with those folks especially. And if I can say anything today that clears up some fog or gets you to take the next step, well, then our time here will have been well worth it.
Thank you. So I definitely appreciate you coming onto the show, because like I just said, that us millennials, yes, we do take a little bit more, you know, we go a little bit more in debt when it definitely comes to our funds. We want to know what's going on with it. Why do we have to spend it? And why are we paying taxes? So if you could explain to us a little bit about, well, one I do want to know first is, why is this year, today's date, the 18th and not the 15th?
Ah, great question. So typically, of course, the 15th is the big dreaded tax deadline, but there are two things working this year. One, because in the District of Columbia, there's a holiday known as Emancipation Day, which was the day in which slavery was abolished in the district. And so that's observed on the April 16th. But because April 16th falls on the weekend, it moves to the next business day. And then, of course, the tax deadline is affected by that as well, because it's based out of D.C. So we have an extra 3 days from the 15th until the 18th of April to file our tax returns.
Thank you for clearing that up, because a lot of people were saying because it falls on Easter weekend. So it has nothing to do with Easter, right?
No. Unfortunately, I don't know. But no, not at all. Easter is coincidental this year.
Okay, cool. And I definitely didn't know that as well, that it followed on the day of Emancipation. I didn't know that as well, that that had any kind of, you know, that, you know, that messed up anything in that end. I did not know that. So another thing I wanted to know is, so how many people can you actually claim as a dependent on your tax returns? That's another question that I got. How many people are you able to claim at one time?
Good question. You can claim anybody who falls into the category of dependents. Typically we think about a dependent as being primarily, you know, your children, whether they are natural or by adoption. And of course, if they are still a student, if they're under age 19 or if they're under age 24 and still a full-time student, those are the general guidelines to go by. But there are, when you consult your tax advisor and even the IRS.gov website, there are some special conditions where people that fall outside of those traditional lines can be claimed as a dependent. But as long as you can make the claim and you can support the claim as for dependency, you can put them on your tax return.
And is there any age to claiming these dependents? Is there a cutoff age?
Generally, age 19 for a child, and age 24 if they are a student, college student, for example, or trade school. There's also some provision if there is a child with special needs or other handicaps. But generally speaking, under age 19 or under age 24. Beyond that, that's when you want to look at your particular circumstances and some more detail that you can talk over with your tax preparer. Or consult the website, and then you'll see if your dependent, the person you have in mind, if they qualify as your dependent. And I'll add one more thing to that. You know, the last segment was great about confidence. Everybody's typically afraid of the IRS. I say, you know, they're not the big bad wolf. If you can make a presentation of a claim for something, even if they have a question or two, if you can support your claim and it's reasonable, it'll fly. So don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try.
Okay, so then you also mentioned about college students. So can a college student claim themselves, can they file taxes and claim themselves? And then if they're under the age of 19, can their parents still claim them as well, since they are still in college and they're, you know, dependent upon their parent at the same time?
Great question. So a couple of things to look at here. So to be clear, you have two claims on the tax return. One is as an exemption for oneself, and then, of course, a deduction. So those are actually two different things. The deduction is worth $6,300. That means the first $6,300 for this year, 2017. The first $6,300 of the income is essentially tax-free. And then the exemption amount is $4,050 per person. So that would mean that the next $4,050 of income would be tax-free. So with that in mind, the question really comes down to is, oh, one more thing to know, only one person can claim another person as an exemption on a tax return. So the college student may still need to file a tax return and can claim themselves as a deduction for the $6,300 part, but their parent could still claim them as an actual dependent exemption. And therefore, the college student would not claim that second $4,050 portion. So a lot of it comes down to how much money did the student make? Do they even need to file a tax return? And what I usually do with my clients is I'll run the number both ways, with and without the child. And I'll say, if you do it with claiming your child, this is what it looks like for both of you. And if you do it without the child, this is what it looks like for both of you. And then I kind of help the client to decide how they want to proceed. But only one person can claim one person as a dependent. But there's no hard and fast rule as to who that has to be when it comes to college students and working.
Okay, Mr. Harris, so I have a question that's going to backtrack what you just said. So you said, I'm sorry, we're ignorant over here in the studio. We're like, what? Okay, so what is an exemption and what is a deduction? So can you break down first what is an exemption and what is a deduction?
Okay, I'm sorry. So so everybody works a job, and basically for 2017, the first $6,300 of your income is tax-free. So what does that mean? If you have a college student who works a little summer gig and they've made $1,000, they don't need to file a tax return at all because it's well below the $6,300 mark. The only reason they would file a tax return is if that job, that employer, happened to withhold federal income taxes from their paycheck, in which case they could file to get that back. So I'll pause there and I'll let that sink in for just a second. So everybody working, the first $6,300 is tax-free. The question about claiming someone as a dependent on a tax return, this is where it gets into only one person, one Social Security number, one tax ID number, if you will. Only one person can put down a particular person as a dependent on their tax return. The value of that deduction is $4,050 for this year, 2015. So you're looking at two thresholds. The first is $6,300. The next one is the next $4,050 in income. The $4,050 in income, that's the one we're talking about right now. Who gets to, quote unquote, claim this person on a tax return? Let me pause there. Is that making sense so far?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. So with that in mind, with a college student, it comes down to, well, how much did the kid make? If the kid only made, you know, I'll use an example. Let's say that the student made $8,000 for the tax year. Well, clearly, they can claim themselves and take the first $6,300 deduction, which means that they're only going to pay tax on the remaining $1,700. $6,300 and $1,700 equals $8,000. Their parent, meanwhile, will claim the student on their personal tax return, and they will benefit for the $4,050 exemption as a dependent. Why? Because the college student literally doesn't need, if you do the math, doesn't need the other $4,050. And besides, I'm sure that parent has paid way more than $4,050 for the care and upkeep of that child through that college year. So it's one of those things where everybody's situation is different, but just know and understand that the college student does have the option to claim themselves completely on their tax return, but most times it's going to work out where it's more in favor for the parent to claim them and for the college student just to get the bare minimum on their tax return.
That makes sense. You broke that down to a point where now I can understand. So I have another question. So I want to understand, first, I want to understand what is a W-2 and also what is a 1099, and then what's the difference between the two?
Okay. They both serve essentially the same purpose, which is the way that an employer reports the income to the worker, their wage, their income. So the W-2 form is typically given to a person who works for an employer. The employer is withholding taxes, both federal, state, and local taxes if they apply. And that's given to show the taxpayer to how much income they had. And this is how the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, knows how much income to look to be reported from an individual. The 1099 form serves a similar purpose in that it reports how much money was paid to an individual, but the difference here is that a 1099 form is reporting income where taxes have not been withheld from the worker's salary. So usually this is a person who is maybe a subcontractor. This is a person who maybe works on commission, for example. And so this income is also reported to the IRS, and the taxpayer does need to report that on their income tax return. They just do it a little bit different in a different space and with a few extra forms on the basic tax return. They're both the same. They are income statements, but they differentiate the difference between being a tax deducted employee versus being a subcontractor or a commissioned employee, basically.
Okay, so pretty much the difference is one is coming from the employer and the other one you're creating for yourself as you are a entrepreneur? Did I grab that?
Partly. You could work for a company, and because maybe you're just a contractor or a temporary worker, they may choose not to withhold taxes because it doesn't qualify you as an employee, and that creates a much bigger expense and much bigger set of circumstances and regulations for them. So there are some corporations that will hire people not as employees, but as temporary workers or contract workers. And if they hire them in that way, then they would use a 1099 form to report that employees, or that I should use the word worker, to use that word, that worker's income to the IRS.
So pretty much.
But usually it is a self-employed person, and I'll share my own example. When I work with insurance products and I am paid commission on insurance products, the insurance companies give me a 1099 form because I'm not directly an employee of theirs, but rather I'm a contractor of theirs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so this pretty much is something where you're responsible for filing it. You know what I mean? We didn't report that we took taxes out of, you know, your income. This is something that you are responsible for filing, which when it comes down to the 1099.
You are correct. That is a good answer.
Okay, so now I get it. So another question is, so how does my business become an S corporation?
So S corporation. So that is a business formation. That's, you have to take steps, and you will apply usually to the state in which the business is doing, you're conducting business. And you literally approach a company that will form your S corp for you. And it will be based upon the state regulations wherever you choose to do that. And it becomes an S corp, and you get to name it whatever you're going to name it. And the designation is an S corp. I'll pause there because the rest of my comment bears on what to do with that on a tax return. Shall I share?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said I'll pause there because the rest of my comments would have to do with what you would do with the S corp and how it affects your personal tax return. Would you like me to share?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So changing it is fairly simple. You just have it changed. You approach a company that will make that business formation for you. You receive your S corp status. Now, an S corp is really very, very similar to the sole proprietor. So what's going to happen is the S corp, there's an arrangement called pass through. So all the profits and all of the expenses, and then finally any final profit or loss that your business has as an S corp is literally going to pass through to your personal income tax return. And on your personal income tax return, there is a line where you can place the amount of the profit from your business or the loss from your business. So it's a very, very fairly simple thing to do, and it's a very fairly simple tax arrangement when it comes to an S corp.
Awesome. So, Mr. Harris, we do actually have a caller on the line who has a question for you as well. So, caller, what's your name and where you're calling from?
This is Tab Money PLC. What it do?
How are you? What's your question that you have for Mr. Harris today?
Mr. Harris, I want to know what advice or recommendations can you give to a startup, entrepreneurship, organizational company? Like, what do we need to do throughout the year to be proactive for tax season?
Great question. I would say the number one thing to do, to be concerned about, is establish a good record-keeping system and a good accounting system. It is so easy, and I admit I can be guilty of this myself. It is so easy to let your paperwork get behind in terms of keeping track of your receipts or making entries and that sort of thing. I tell my clients all the time, no matter how sophisticated the software you use, the accounting system that you use, whether you're using software or whether you're doing it old school with a hand and a notebook, it doesn't really matter. The most important thing is that you actually keep your records and you stay on top of the record keeping. That will eliminate at least 75% of any headaches that you may be encountering because of being an entrepreneur owning your own business when it comes to your taxes. So from that point of view, is keep good records, number one. Number two, you know, put together a competent team of people around you, you know. Talk to your friends and your relatives. Find out who a good tax accountant is in the area. You know, work with somebody who understands the plight of the small business owner and who values entrepreneurship, because this kind of person is going to be proactive with looking for ways for you to maximize all the tax advantages of being a business owner. And they're also going to look for ways, encourage you to make sure that you're compliant with your records with the Internal Revenue Service. You don't really ever have a problem with the Internal Revenue Service unless you're simply not doing what you need to do on a regular basis. So, you know, if you don't trust yourself to be on that in the beginning, definitely get some competent help in the area of tax preparation, and you will be fine. The main thing is keep living the dream, keep building that business, whatever it is. This country was built on entrepreneurialism, and this is what's going to help spur the economy. So good for you.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, appreciate that. That was awesome right there. I do have one more question, though.
Go ahead, ask your question.
All right, so my next question is regarding us personal taxes. What if you haven't filed taxes in like 2 or 3 years and then you decide to file taxes? Like, how, what does that benefit, so pros or cons?
Okay, this happens every year. I've met at least five new clients this year who had this situation. So don't be afraid. Get the taxes, get the tax preparer to look at your tax return. Here's the thing to know. If you have a refund for any particular tax year, you have 3 years from the date that the tax return was due originally to file that tax return to receive your refund. So to put that in context, we're now approaching the tax deadline for 2017. What that means is that the 2013, and we'll follow the years carefully, the 2013 tax return was due April 2014. Right now, you have 3 years, or April 2017, to collect your refund for 2013. Hmm. So what that means is 2013, 2014, 2015, if you have those tax years that are still not filed, definitely get them taken care of, because you may be leaving money on the table, and the IRS wants to give you the money, and it's your money. The flip side of that is that if you happen to owe for any of those years, the IRS has up until 7 years later to collect their debt from you. So, again, you know, get the taxes prepared. Even if you end up owing for any of the years, the IRS will take the refund from any given year and will offset the balance due, so the money doesn't have to directly all come out of your pocket if there's enough to cover it. And number two, it's a better idea to at least get them prepared so that you know, even if you're not ready to file them yet and pay the bill, at least get the taxes prepared so that you know where you stand. Because when you're ready to make your moves and start your business, that might include applying for credit. It might include writing up a business plan, you know, all sorts of things. You're going to want to make sure that you have your financial house in order. So at least take your paperwork to a competent professional. Let them look it over and prepare it, and then you can either have the burden off your shoulders of knowing you have refund coming back, or at the very least, you can walk in confidence because you know exactly where you stand with the IRS.
And then just a follow up to that, where if I don't have my actual W-2s in the mail, I misplaced them, where can I go to retrieve them if I'm in that 3 year time frame?
The IRS at irs.gov, you can go there and put that into the search. There is a form, and the IRS will send you a statement which basically summarizes your income for any given tax year. A bit of a faster approach might be, if you're still in touch with that employer, sometimes the employer would be willing, the human resource or accounts pay, or the payroll department, they may be willing just to generate that form for you again. So I would try there first if that's faster, but the IRS can provide you with that information because they have a vested interest in you knowing how much money you made because they want the tax money.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. I appreciate that, definitely. Just let me know, how can I get in touch with you? It's the easiest way.
Great. Well, my number is 610-202-2093. Or you can reach. I'll repeat that.
610-202-2093. Awesome.
Or you can reach me by email, and I'll give that to you. That is J-A-Y, at New View Consulting. And I spell New View a little differently, so I'll spell that for you. New View is N-U-V as in Victor, I-E-W, consulting.com. So J at newviewconsulting.com.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Is there any, like, creative thought behind New You in you?
There is. It has to do, in brief, at I help people to see themselves the way I see them and to realize their fullest potentials for their business and for their life. And sometimes people just need a little bit of information and suddenly see a brand new version of themselves. So it's a new view.
Sweet, awesome. Sweet, sweet. Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Harris. You just threw me an alley-oop because I'm about to do my taxes soon. So I definitely appreciate all this good knowledge. Shout out to POC. Shout out Harmony the Goddess. Shout out True Heart. Mariah got it popping today. So I appreciate it with the info.
Thank you for calling in as well, Tab Money. We really do appreciate you supporting the Revive team. But Mr. Harrison, before we do let you go today, I thank you once again for being on the platform. And also, like Tab Money just said, dropping so much knowledge on us and information that we technically did not know. Is there any other tidbits, any other, you know, little information that we do not know that you may know that you just want to mention for us here today on Revive?
Well, in regards to taxes, the deadline's coming up. If you're finding that you are not going to be ready, you should look into filing a form called a Form 4868. It's an automatic extension of time to file your tax return. Again, that's Form 4868. You can download that from the IRS website, and you can just fill that out. It's very brief. It will extend the deadline by 6 months. If you have a refund coming, it won't matter anyway, because you have 3 years, right? But if you happen to have a tax liability or a balance due, you will want to avoid being charged penalties for late filing. So that filing of that extension until October will help you to escape any late filing penalties. So that's to get as far as taxes go. And beyond that, I would say, you know, jump out there. Be an entrepreneur. Start a business. I don't care if it's just a part-time side hustle or if it's the biggest, best business of your dreams. Get out there and do it. Do not let any concerns about taxes or the IRS or anything like that in any way dampen that spirit and make you change your mind. The IRS is not the big bad wolf. They just want their money when they want it. And as long as you're out there building your business and making your dreams come true, you know, just pay your little bit back to Uncle Sam, and that way you can stay in business and be able to provide employment, services, awakening, whatever it is you're doing. You're able to do that because all your tax and financial work will be in order.
Awesome. And I thank you for that, Mr. Harris. But I have one last question because I have a business and also, you know, I go to work as well. So my personal question is, so when it comes down for me filing taxes for my business and then filing taxes for my 9-to-5, am I doing it separately or am I doing it together? How should I go about doing that?
It depends on how your business structure is set up. Is it a sole proprietorship or an S-corp?
Yes, it is. It's an LLC.
Okay. LLC. Okay, very good. So there is a set of paperwork for you to fill out for the LLC, but then you're just going to transfer that information right over to your personal income tax return. So essentially, they're going to both be filed together is what it comes down to. Just because you have the LLC, you have a few preliminary pieces of paper forms to complete before you'll know what to put on your 1040 form. But as I said, the S-Corp LLC is a very simple, still simple business formation that you can put directly on your personal income tax return.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You definitely answered that question because I didn't know the answer and I was trying to get that answer before I go ahead and file my taxes. But one more time, Mr. Harris, before you go, can you reiterate your email that you gave out and also the telephone number for anyone who wants to reach out to you to either, you know, get an extension or some more information or, you know, actually to help come to you for some consulting as well?
Okay, will do. Thank you. Again, James Harris. My email is J-A-Y, at New View Consulting, N-U-V-I-E-W, consulting.com. And my telephone number is 610-202-2093. I'm in the Philadelphia area, and I work with any state tax return that needs to be done, but I'm in the Philadelphia area, so the South Jersey peeps and the Delaware folks can feel free. I have clients in all those areas as well as across the country.
Awesome. And I thank you once again, Mr. Harris, for coming back onto the Revive platform and, you know, dropping that knowledge and informing us on everything we need to know about being an entrepreneur and also taxes. It's important that, you know, we educate ourselves around things that people that may not look like us know coming out, you know, coming out the womb. These are conversations that are held at the dinner table. And us as African-Americans, we need to understand and know what's going on. So I do appreciate you coming onto the Revive platform today and educating us on it.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Have a good day.
You too.
And that does wrap up another episode of Revive. I do want to thank everyone out there who is supporting us and listening to us each and every Sunday and each and every Wednesday. But before we go, I do want Harmony the Goddess and also True Heart to reiterate where the people can find them, where the people can reach out to them and, you know, get some more information about either Harmony Blogs or True Heart's Daily Affirmation Challenge. So make sure you guys do so and shout yourselves out.
You can follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook. Just type in Higher Level Communication. It should pop right up. And follow us. And you can also follow Higher Level Communication on Twitter. It's just a little different. It's Higher Level Com. It's Higher Level COMM. You can personally email myself and the Higher Level team at Higher Level Communication CO@gmail.com. It's Higher Level Communication CO@gmail.com. Jump in on our 21 Daily Affirmation Challenge. Even though today is the 16th, it's not too late. You do want to jump on board, and anything that may resonate with you, don't be afraid to leave a comment or shoot me an email, because there's a lot of new things coming down the pipeline.
And this is Harmony the Goddess. You can follow me on Twitter at LiveInHarmony, the number 3, and at Harmony the Goddess on Facebook and Instagram. Also, check out CBElifestyle.com for the few blogs I did for their artist spotlight, and just to support CBE Lifestyle always, liberating the community. Once again, that link is pinned on my Twitter at LiveInHarmony, the number 3. It's definitely always a pleasure to serve you all. And please remember to live in peace, not pieces. Also, happy Earth Day, Mother Earth.
And for me, once again, it's just Revive_POC on both Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the pre-recorded episodes of Revive at timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can also check out the pre-recorded episodes of Revive at CBE Lifestyles as well. They're supporting both me and Harmony the Goddess in the dreams that we are definitely following. So make sure you do that. Also, if you are listening, us here at Revive, we are about the community. We are about unity. So if you do have any community projects coming up, any community programs coming up, and you want to reach out to us at Revive to make sure that we are in the building, whether we're hosting, moderating, speaking, doing workshops, putting on, you know, any kind of classroom settings, this is what we want to do. We want to jump out there into community. No matter what community it is, we do travel. We are going across the water. You know, next week, all three of us will be in LA doing our thing as well, out there in some community projects. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform. We are growing. You can reach me at revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, that is revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, I want to get into your communities. I want to be in front of your youth. I want to have these different conversations with everyone in the surrounding communities. I definitely do. So if you are looking for anyone to jump out there this summer to help your program or help your projects, the Revive team is the people to contact, because we definitely will be there for you guys in your community. Once again, you will hear us live back on the air Wednesday starting at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we won't be on, I do want to just give a PSA for next week, we won't be on next week on April 23rd, because once again, we are going out LA, all three of us, to do some community research and some projects out there, to talk to some youth out there, to continue to expand this Revive project that we are doing. But definitely stay tuned to us on Wednesday. Once again, you know what time it is. It's your girl, POC. Thank you for supporting always. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you all have a blessed week. And if you do celebrate Easter, happy Easter to you. Go get some eggs. Go find some Easter eggs. Go, you know, set the hunt up for the kids properly. Go eat some good food. Make sure you bring up conversations that make people uncomfortable today at the dinner table. As you're sitting around your family, make them uncomfortable with different conversations. Bring the conversation up surrounding this judge who was just found in the Hudson River. Bring up the conversation about ISIS. Things of that nature. We do need to have these conversations. We do need to educate educate each other each and every time that we get around our loved ones. So make sure you guys do that at the Easter table today. Once again, like Harmony the Goddess said, happy Earth Day to Mother Earth. Just keep it moving, keep it going. Thank you. Have a good week. You know what time it is.
Okay, how hard is it being a wife and a mother?
It's challenging being a wife and a mother. It's very challenging being a wife and a mother. It's a paradox, and paradox are when two opposites are true, okay? And I've learned that my life is full of many paradox, mm-hmm. paradox, right? So being a wife and a mother is probably one of the most extraordinary experiences and the most fulfilling experiences in my life. But at the same time, it has been very difficult to balance being able to do the things that I want to do mm-hmm. and have the freedoms that I want to have, and also being responsible for you and your brothers and your father. And I'm constantly, every day, trying to figure out that balance. Figuring out how to help you fulfill your dreams, which your dreams are changing right now, right? At the same time, assisting Daddy in his dreams, assisting your brothers in their dreams, and then trying to figure out what my dreams are. You know what I mean? So every day when I wake up in the morning, I go into meditation and I ask for guidance from the powers, the intangible powers, and I get focused. I think about, what does Willow need today? Okay, let me check that off, handle that. What does Jada need today? What does Daddy need today? And okay, Jada, before the day is done, you better make sure that you take care of yourself. And that's a new thing for me. When you and Jada were first born, I had forgotten how to take care of myself because you guys were my world. You guys were my everything. You still are. But I have forgotten how to do that. And at the end of the day, the one thing that I always want to tell you, Willow, and the reason why you always have to be in communication, especially with me, your family, your grandmother, your father, your brothers, your friends, the people who love you, you have to understand that life is a journey. Communication creates partnerships. Okay? That we are here to assist you. That we can't make your life for you, and we can't help you with the things that we don't know. And that you always have to remember to take care of you first and foremost. Because when you stop taking care of yourself, you get out of balance and you really forget how to take care of others. And I think that we've been taught that taking care of yourself is a problem. And I'm telling you something about being a mother and some of the messaging that we get in this country about being a mother, that you have to completely sacrifice everything. Mm-hmm. You have to completely sacrifice every single thing. And I think that what the re-messaging that we as mothers need to have and gravitate to is that you have to take care of yourself in order to have the alignment and the power to take care of others at the capacity that we do. Because it fills the well. Mm-hmm. What I believe that I do takes so much energy, so much work from heart, spirit, and creativity, that I have to be responsible enough to take care of me. Because you know what happens? Imbalance comes, and you know what happens? I look to you, Willow, and I say, Willow, you've got to do this. Because if you don't, you become, I start looking towards you. I start making you responsible for my happiness. And a lot of times, you know what we do? We look to our men, we look to our husbands and our boyfriends, and we go, you, I've given all this up for you, and you've got to make this right by me, and you're supposed to make me happy. Because we've lost our way on how to make ourselves happy. fucking lost our way. So what I had to do and what I had to learn was how to get more balance. And over the years, each year, each day, I get more and more and more and more in balance. More and more and more in alignment. And you know what? I get more and more happy. And the very thing that I thought would make you unhappy or make Jaden unhappy or make Daddy unhappy actually is fulfilling for you guys as well. Even though you might, it might not be a tangible reason. But the more happy I am and the more fulfilled I am, it works for the family. And when I'm not, it doesn't. It's really that simple. You know? So I know that that was a very long answer.
Goes down to is when mom is unhappy, everybody's unhappy.
Right, that's right, but that I have to be responsible for my own happiness. Yeah, and in order to be absolutely responsible for my own happiness, I've got to create new messaging. And I look at women, I look at mothers, mm-hmm, and I really feel like there's a lot of unhappiness going on is because of the messaging that we've gotten. That you're a bad mother. You're a bad mother if you do anything that makes you happy. You better be at home, and at every single moment, don't you take your eyes off that kid, those children of yours. And that's the messaging. That is the messaging. And that messaging will drive somebody crazy. You have a right to be happy.
To be happy.
And your happiness is what fuels you from the inside.
Absolutely.